May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1070. 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon the worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
Thank you. the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abi Ezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for gathering us together here in this house of prayer this Lord's Day morning, and we humbly entreat thy gracious help and blessing here this day as we gather to worship thee. Lord, do help us and grant us, Lord, the sending forth of thy Spirit to be in our hearts, we pray, to stir us up and to bring forth praises from us. Lord, we have so many things to thank and praise thee for. We thank thee for this returning day of rest. We thank thee for this opportunity to meet together around thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that we can meet. Lord, we look back to not too long ago and the restrictions that were upon us. And so we praise and thank thee that in thy favour and mercy we are able to meet. And Lord, we do pray that thou bless us with the felt sense of thy presence here. Lord, we are poor, needy sinners, and we cannot worship thee in that right way, except that thou dost help us. Lord, we are in need of thy gracious mercy and favour. And we ask that thou would bless us with thy presence, that it may be as it was with the disciples of old. Jesus himself stood in the midst. And so we pray that by faith we may behold thee, and that thou bring before us, Lord, those tokens and favours and blessings of thy presence here. For Lord, thou hast said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we pray that there may be that gathering together in thy name. Lord, there may be that desire to worship thee. Lord, we would not come out of mere form or tradition. We come on this first day of the week, and we assemble ourselves in this house of prayer. We do pray that we may worship in spirit and in truth, and that thy Holy Spirit may be present within us to stir up that true worship that we pray. Lord, may it come from a heart made willing. Lord, may we not come into thy house in a begrudging way, but may we willingly sacrifice this day to thy praise, and may, Lord, thy blessing rest upon us in our worship. We seek, Lord, for that supply of living bread. We seek that thy word may do us good this day. We ask, Lord, for thy rich blessing to rest upon us and upon the worship here this day. We ask for that revealing of thyself to us each, that the Holy Spirit may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts might be prepared. Lord, that we may be that good ground, that we may receive the word in faith, and that it may bring forth fruit to thy honour and glory. We ask for a building up in our most holy faith. We ask, Lord, that thou establish us in the things of God. We pray, Lord, that thou create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Lord, teach us and lead us by thy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that we may hear thy voice, that thou wilt speak to us. Lord, as we've read of how thou didst speak to dear Gideon of old, may we also not be strangers to thy voice, but may we hear it. Lord, grant us that great favour that thou wilt speak to us each personally. For thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so, Lord, be not silent to us. We acknowledge and would pray for that true teaching of our own individual sinnership before thee. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are sinful creatures, but make us truly sorrowful over these things. May sin be exceeding sinful to us. Lord, do convict us and convince us of our sins. And then lead us to Jesus' blood. Oh, we would know something of ourselves and something of thyself, that thou make thyself precious to us, Lord, and show us the vileness of our hearts and the deceitfulness of them. Lord, leave us not to rest short of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Bring us away from trusting in ourselves and in anything that we have done. Lord, may we be found clinging and cleaving unto Thee. Bring us to lean upon Thee and to find in Thee the promised rest. Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy tokens of Thy mercy and favour towards sinners here. We pray for our dear friend who recently openly professed Thy name among the people here. And we do pray that Thou strengthen him and help him as he has taken up his cross and seeks to follow Thee daily. And we ask, Lord, that these outward professions may be graciously used in the exercise of others who watch on. And Lord, may many hearts be stirred up. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt continue Thy work here, we pray. Bless this cause of truth. Build them up in numbers and in grace. Lord, we ask that Thou wilt help the brethren who bear office here. And we pray for our brother who recently was bereaved, Lord. And we ask Thy sustaining help to him and his dear family. Lord, what continued need he has of Thy gracious presence. Lord, we pray that I'll be with him in the path that he is now called to walk. And Lord, we ask that in all these things he may prove, and his dear family, in their own way personally, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt accept our thanks for every favour and blessing. Lord, Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, though at times we have difficult things to walk through, we have mountains at times before us. We have things that we cannot understand. At times, Lord, we may not be able to trace out Thy goings. Yet we have Thy precious holy word. And we thank Thee that Thou hast not left us utterly without hope. And we thank Thee that we live in that day of grace, the day of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And though we see much of a withholding of Thy Holy Spirit in the day we live in, yet, Lord, Thou hast not departed. And for this we praise Thee. Oh, but we ask that Thou wilt return in great blessing. Oh, Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Oh, Lord, we pray then and thank thee for thy never failing promises. We thank thee, Lord, for the throne of grace. We thank thee for the Saviour's precious blood, and that thou hast given us a name which is acceptable, an all-prevailing name, the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead his name, and we ask that in his name that thou wilt bless us indeed, and that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us, and that thou wilt bless the young people and the old, Lord, and those in midlife who bear the heat and burden of the day, we pray that in whatever age or state or case, that thy rich blessing may be poured out upon us, that thou would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Lord, remember us, we humbly pray, with that favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest all that we stand in need of. We pray for any who may feel passed by, out of the secret, forgotten, forsaken. We pray for any that might be listening in who are unable to be here in this house of prayer, who are, as it were, like David's 200 men that had to remain behind with the staff. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet with them and touch their hearts, meet their cases. And Lord, that Satan may not seek to gain ground and to take opportunity in our times of feeling low and cast down. Oh, that thou lift us up and raise us up to a sweet hope in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for that personal interest in it, that the things that we know in our head may be sweetly applied to our hearts, and that we may have that witness within that we are born again of the Spirit of God. And so help us, we pray. Be with any, Lord, whose case has not been mentioned. Poor prayers, Lord, we confess. Oh, but thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we cast ourselves upon thee and plead that thou would undertake for us and help us now as we turn to thy word. Grant the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon thy word. May it be sealed into our hearts. May it remain and abide in us. Lord, do forgive anything we've asked amiss. Pardon all our sins, as we ask in that all-prevailing name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of Judges, chapter 6. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from a few words in the middle of verse 39. Judges chapter 6, and a few words from the middle of verse 39. Let me prove, I pray thee. Judges chapter 6, and these six words in the middle of verse 39. Let me prove, I pray thee. The whole verse reads, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. At the close of the previous chapter, it is recorded, and the land had rest 40 years. And then we read at the beginning of this chapter, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And how often we see this, don't we? When the Lord, in his favour and mercy, gives his people a time of rest from their particular trial, there's the maybe a time of trouble and difficulty, and then there's afterwards a deliverance and a period is granted of rest. And the blessing at first, this time of rest is, and how welcome it is. And then as things go on, nothing stays the same, does it? You would think that everything would be as it was for the 40 years that we're told they had rest. And yet, we prove how fallen we are by nature. We prove that without the continual teaching, without the continued exercise of our souls, how quick we become indifferent and hardened, even by things going well. I wonder if some of you know something of this. There are accounts of it in the Word of God. One of accounts is this one here. And I wonder if you know something of this. You know, we're like that metal, aren't we? It is us by nature. We're hard as metal, as iron. If the Lord should come and fill our hearts with his love and his blessing, well, we're like that metal that is melted. We become soft. But that's not what we are. By nature, we're hard. And so you withdraw that molten metal from the heat, and what does it do? It returns to its default condition. It becomes rock hard again, doesn't it? So like that, this is what we are, isn't it? When the Lord is with us, we feel his presence, and he's active in our lives and stirring up our hearts and keeping us close in prayer out of necessity, sometimes out of praise at others, well, we're flowing, aren't we? And flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. But when, at times, he, as it were, takes a step back from us, how quickly we are to cool down and to become hardened. So here we find it. The children of Israel, they slide into this sin again. And the Lord brings Midian. The Midianites come. And there is a great time of oppression. And they have these continual attacks upon them. So much so that we read Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And then the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Oh, if there's nothing else from the sermon this morning, beloved friends, may the Lord apply that to your heart and mine. Then they cried unto the Lord. How much more in a gospel day are we encouraged in our times of need to cry unto the Lord? Yes, it's a dreadful condemnation in one sense, isn't it, upon us? It shows us how dreadful our hearts are, that it's often not until these things come. Oh, we might go through the routine of prayer. But when is it do we really pray? Well, it was then the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them. And he began, didn't he, in stirring up the heart of this man Gideon. We can tell how he himself was distressed. We find him in secret at the threshing floor. And there he is, trying to keep it from the eyes of the Midianites. He is there in secret, and the Lord appears to him. There he is threshing this wheat, and the Lord is pleased to meet with him and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Oh, really, we see two things this morning when we read this account. We see, on the one hand, Gideon's own felt sense of weakness. His, out of his own lips, he said, "I feel to be the least of my father's house." How unfit he felt himself. A keen sense of his weakness. And yet, on the other, we find the Lord's wonderful ability to put strength into even the weakest of his people. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 1, says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And God was pleased to use this man, Gideon. And, oh, what a calling he had. Gideon is brought to open up his heart, isn't he? In a special way. You know, this is one of those remarkable passages of Holy Scripture, isn't it? That Almighty God should be pleased to enter in to fellowship into these communications with poor, sinful creatures of the earth. Let us ever remind ourselves, this is the Old Testament. And how much more, as we see the throne of grace, we look to an empty tomb, a risen Saviour, now sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, there is a name to plead. There is acceptance. There's a loving welcome for us. Set before us, held out for our notice in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a way of approach, a loving welcome at the throne of grace. For us to unbosom our cares, to lay before him those things which are weighing us down, which are troubling us. Gideon, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Have you ever been there? You know, something's come upon you maybe in your life or into your pathway. And this is the question that's risen up in your heart. If the Lord was with me, why has this happened? If the Lord loved me, why would he permit this to happen? Gideon, he has all these questions, doesn't he? Where be all his miracles? Where is the God of our fathers? Has he forsaken us? Does he not care? We read, don't we, in Isaiah, the complaint of the church of God. From time to time, my Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. And in a sense, it's the same answer, isn't it? That the most merciful and gracious Lord God in heaven gives. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. The Lord looked upon him, go in this thy might. What might? My heart's full of questions. doubts, fear, weakness. Have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? And so you say then, as we come to the end of the chapter, and our reading this morning, and as we come to the text before us, what was Gideon seeking that the Lord would prove to him? Surely Gideon had already proved that the Lord was with him. He was brought to see the angel of the Lord, of who he really was. At the first appearing of him, seemed to be a man. And yet he was to go on, and he was to hear the voice of the Lord speaking. And the Lord has said to him, surely I will be with thee. And Gideon had asked for a token. He had said, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Is Gideon here with the fleece? Is he tempting the Lord? No, he's not. Is he seeking to know that the Lord is with them? With him? No, he's not. Oh, let us not make this fleece wet and fleece dry be a sin, a sinful thing for Gideon to seek for. It wasn't. And the Lord graciously gave him the two clear answers which he sought. He was not seeking to know if the Lord was with him. He had had that sign. When he asked for to show me a sign that thou talkest with me, the Lord had tarried and waited. And then when he received what Gideon presented to him, there was that fire from out of the rock which consumed it. And there the angel departed out of Gideon's sight. And Gideon knew. He said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And then Gideon had another sweet and blessed token. The God of all comfort, the God of all grace, was to whisper peace into his heart, now feeling himself to have seen more than he should, to have had revealed to him more than could be expected, that he might perish in a similar way to Manoah and his wife. Well, the Lord, in answer to Gideon's fear, says unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, for thou shalt not die. Oh, what a token then. He knew something of the Lord speaking to him, the Lord's presence with him, and he knew the peace of God, so much so that he had to raise an altar in praise to the God of all grace and a God of peace. And he called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Well, what was he seeking? Let me prove. Let me prove, I pray thee. Wasn't the power of God? He knew something of the power of God. And he knew something of the presence of God. Gideon sought this. He wanted to know the will of God. The will of God. Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel. Not if thou can, but if thou wilt. If thou wilt save Israel, let me prove, I pray thee. Would you know the holy will of God? And he sought, firstly, that the fleece might be wet and all the ground around it might be dry, which was a miracle, no doubt. But then to settle his mind and the mind of those with him, because Gideon had gathered with him and gathered together with him were all those other tribes, those hosts that were come up to battle. There was this second token and sign of the will of God. And if you like, this was even more impossible. This was to put all things beyond doubt concerning what the holy mind and will of God was. Because here, amongst the dew all around, there on the floor, the fleece was to be dry. Oh, what a token. And God did so that night. And so, dear friends, may you and I be sweetly encouraged this morning in seeking to know the Lord's will. I wonder if there's anyone here, and in your mind, you know this much. You know something of God in terms of what you've read and what you've heard spoken of him, of his power, of his gracious ability. You know this morning something of his mercy in hearing prayer. You look around at your friends, your family, those at chapel, and you can see here and there. Really, some of you can say beyond doubt you've seen that God is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And maybe in your mind this morning, there's an understanding of something of the Lord Jesus, God's own Son, and what he has done for poor, needy sinners in that great work of salvation. And you have it in the New Testament. You have it prophesied of in the Old, and we have it recorded in the New. And again, you have the understanding in your mind of the effect that it's had on lives of people that you know and love. You've had lives lived to the honour and glory of God among you. You've seen the effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ upon some of those that you know and love. And you've had a witness in the passing of dear Mrs. Lydia Baker. And you've seen it, and you've understand and seen something of the difference that Jesus Christ made in her life. But the question comes, did he die for me? Am I one of his children? You're not in rebellion this morning, denying that he has a people. You're not raising your arms, your fist in anger toward heaven. When you think of his choice of a people. But there is something that you need to know for yourself. The knowledge of Jesus dying for sinners is a wonderful thing. And we are not belittling it in any way. But it's not enough, is it? Just to know that Jesus died for sinners. It's a wonderful comfort. It's a great revelation of the wondrous plan of salvation to see Jesus Christ, God's Son, as a sacrifice acceptable to God, and that precious blood shed for sinners. But it comes to this: did he die for me? Did he live that life and lay it down for me? You know he lived it. And you know he laid it down. But was it for me? What is the will of God concerning me? Is that you know it's his will that you should be born. And you're alive. And you're brought to come into Swavesey Chapel. And I think most of you have come in many times. And it was the will of God that you should. But is that it? Is that it concerning your life? It was the will of God that you should come so close. So close to the means of grace. So close to the sacrifice of God's appointing. So close to the truth of the gospel. And yet, that's as far as it goes. His word we have written, recorded, his word will not return to him void. What is the will of God concerning his word and you? Will it be the savior of life unto life? Or will it be of death unto death? It will not return to him void. The Lord's will is being fulfilled. And one by one, his people are being brought out of nature's darkness, being made alive in the things of God, having the witness of the Holy Spirit in their heart, a sealing of the word into them, personal revelations of themselves and of him. Being taught their sin, not the letter of it, but the condemnation of it, the guilt of it. And it's that which is essential. Prove me. Let me prove, I pray thee. Oh, as it's your desire, that the Lord might prove to you, to show you that you're one of his dear children. Oh, to seek for this interest in it. Oh, what a gift it is. Where the Lord creates in the hearts of his people a longing after him. Oh, that felt sense of need concerning the things of God. An urgency that theirs becomes a pressing case. Let me prove, I pray thee. Let me prove, I pray thee. Oh, to go as Gideon to the God of all grace. Let me prove, Lord, what thy will is for me. Let me prove that I am numbered among thy children. Prove to me, Lord, that thy love, the love that thou hast to sinners, is toward me. Oh, he will be. He will be inquired of by the household of Israel to do it for them. We have, don't we, as we come to the end of the Old Testament, and we come to the book of Malachi chapter 3, and the Lord says this, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive it." Oh, that you and I might prove him faithful to his word. That you might be like that woman who in her Bible had T and P written next to various passages of scripture. And when asked what it meant, she said it means tried and proved. That you might and I might prove him to be faithful to his word. We might prove his promises true. We might prove the acceptance there is at the feet of Jesus for poor, needy, undone sinners. That we might prove that precious blood and prove that it can cleanse us from all sin. And our prayer might be, Lord, let me prove that cleansing fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And you want to prove the gracious effect of the hope that is in Jesus and the peace that it brings, and prove that it does pass all understanding, and prove that his word abides forever, and prove that he is that friend that will stick closer than a brother, that loveth at all times,
and
prove that he still receives sinners to himself. And prove that your sins are not a match for that precious blood. And prove the mercy of God. And call upon him. And seek the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, to prove the day of grace. You hear of it. Oh, to be a partaker. Prove that you're not just an onlooker, but a partaker. Prove that you're not just a passerby, but you're one that enters in. Prove him to be the door of the sheepfold. Prove him to be your good shepherd. And prove, and let him prove to you his faithfulness and his love. You think of those words, and we will close with them at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. What a wonderful encouragement. As Gideon felt encouraged, enabled to pour his heart out, so may you, at the throne of grace, with the precious Christ in view and the promises that he speaks in your heart, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me prove, I pray thee. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school this afternoon will be at Bethany, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation and the churches at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And then next Lord's Day, Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach and also address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 1033. 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.